Om Jnana Vyakhya Prakatita Parabrahma Tattvam Yuvanam Varshishtante Vasudrishijanaira Vritam Brahmanishtai Acharyendram Karakalita Shinmudramanandarupam Swatmaramam Mudhitavaranam Dakshinamurtinire Vatatatati samipe bhumi bhage nishannam sakalamuni jananam jnanadatharamarat tribhuvana gurunisham dakshinam murtidevam janamarana dukkha cheta daksham namami chitram vatataror mule vritta shishya guru yuva gurostumyanam vyakhyanam Shishyastu chinna sanshayaha Nidhaye sarva vidyanam Vishaje pavaroginam Gurave sarva lokanam Dakshinamurtaye namaha Om namah parvarthaya Shuddha jnanaika murtaye Nirmalaya prashantaya Dakshinamurtaye namaha
Now going to verse 1 of the Dakshinamurti.
Om Vishwam Darpana Drishyamana Nagari Tulyam Nijantaragatam Pashyannatmani Mayaya Vahiri Vodbhutan Yata Nidraya Yasakshat Kurute Prabodha Samaye Swatmanam Evadvayam Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye Vijasyantari Vankaro Jagatidam Tvanamir Vikalpam Punaha Maya Kalpita Desha Kala Kalana Vai Chitri Chitri Kritam Maya Viva Vijimbayatyapi Mahayogi Vayaswachaya Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye Yasya Eva Spuranam Sadatmakam Asatkalpartakam Vasate Sakshat Tattvamasiti Veda Vajasa Yobhoti Yadjashutan Yad Sakshat Karanat Bhavena Punaravritir Pavampo Nidau Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye Nana Chitra Kathodarastita Mahadipa Prabhaswaram Jnanam Yasya Chichakshuradi Karana Dwara Bahisandate Janami Titameva Pantamanupadye Tatsamastam Jagata Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Okay. This is where we're going, where we left off. So repeat after me.
Deham pranam apindriyanya pichalam. Deham pranam apindriyanya pichalam. Buddhim cha shunyam viduhu. Buddhim cha shunyam viduhu. Shri Balanda Jadopamastrahamiti Shri Balanda Jadopamastrahamiti Pranta Prashambadinaha Pranta Prashambadinaha Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpita Maha Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpita Maha Vyamoha Samharine Vyamoha Samharine Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Namahidam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Okay. So
Deham
pranam, api, indriya, in. Yikes, a typo. Indriyani. Indriyani. Okay, I'll fix that. There's the break. Deham, pranam, api, indri. So you need a short E after the dra. Indriyani, api, chalam, buddhin, buddhim, cha, shunyam, viduhu. Shri, bala, anda, jada, upamaha. Right, Shri, Bala, Anta, Jada, Upamaha, Tu, Aham, Iti. See that? Mm-hmm. Maha, Tu, Aham, Iti. Upamaha, Tu, Aham, Iti. Brantaha, Brisham, Vadinaha. What's the next line is a compound. Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpita Maha Vyamoha Samharine Tasmai Shri Guru Murtiye Namaha Idam Shri Dakshina Murtiye. Okay, go ahead, especially the Sanskrit students, just scan the first two lines and see if you can see what the subject is and the verb. And I'll be right with you. So I want to find this in here. Okay. Basic sentence. The first two lines, end of the last line, vadinaha, from vadin. Nominative plural, vadinaha. A vadin is somebody who has a philosophical position. Like, for instance, in the Brahma Sutras, when Shankara is debating, doing what we call Purvapaksha Siddhanta, right, with all of the different schools of thought. Purvapaksha means the initial position that usually the opponent presents, and the Siddhanta is the resolution that from our standpoint, you know, the Siddhanta is the one what the Vedanta is presenting. So the Vadin is a person who is holding a given philosophical position. Okay, so like the Sankhyavadis, the Baudavadis, see what I mean? The Yogavadis. So all of these people who are holding a philosophical position is a vadin. Vadinaha is in the nominative plural. So the basic sentence, if you look for the verb, is vadinaha viduhu. These vadins, viduhu, they know. The vadins know from vid, okay? Means when you say the vadins know, these people who have a philosophical position, they are convinced. They are convinced of a certain position. Okay. So now let's look at the. So we have the vadinaha vidhu. The vadinaha, reading backwards from vadinaha, branta brisham. Brisham is an adverb, an indeclinable, and it means very or extremely. You know, brantaha means it can mean like Bronte is totally just wandering around, roaming about, lost. But it also means very confused, you know, or perplexed.
Disoriented,
confused, perplexed. Sometimes we say, you know, deluded, or people who have, you know, they have an erroneous position, is Branta. So we can say, these the bodies who are Brantaha Rishim, being very confused, then they say,
what's it?
Brantaha,
uh-huh.
Confused or perplexed,
Prishan,
or being, people who are in error.
Prishan is very or extremely.
Yeah, Prishan, very or extremely.
Okay.
It means that they're operating under an extreme misconception. And if you look at it from the Vedantic perspective, there's a huge difference between taking yourself as a little finite being within the creation searching for happiness and being Ishwara. That's pretty extreme difference. It could be really more extreme, right? Being the whole to being, you know, a limited jiva. So here he says, so these body, they, what do they know? These, and well, let's do this first one, in the second line. Shri means a woman. Bala means a child. Anda means a blind person. Somebody who's blind. So a woman, a bala, an anda, blind person. Now, jada, literally jada means inert or not conscious. But here in the commentary, what he says for jada is graha grastaha. That means a person who's overwhelmed or possessed by spirits or by demons. So, you know, that's what he says, graha grastaha. Why am I not finding this? Is that the wrong book? Oh, it's the right book.
What's that mean?
It means that there's nobody home. They're gone. You know? they're unconscious, and they've been, what's present is just some sort of a spirit or a demon. He says, here it is. Let's see what he says. Jadaha. Graha grastaha. Grasta means they're overtaken, right? They've been possessed or obtained. They've been obtained by a graha. A graha can also mean a crocodile, you know. They've been eaten by a crocodile, but that's not the meaning here. The meaning here is a spirit or a demon. Okay, so they're either one of these type of people. So upamaha means like. The upama is like. This is a common word in Vedanta. Something which is like or equal to. So it's ending the compound. You see that? Shri, bala, anda, jada, upama. Upamaha is in the nominative plural. So that's going to go with vadinaha. Brantaha is in nominative plural. That goes with vadinaha. Vrisham is an indeclinable. So these vadis, who are extremely perplexed, confused, just like a woman.
Hey, this is birthday.
Listen,
now.
We know this isn't true, right?
Right.
And Edward, you are the only man in this room.
Okay, I apologize.
So you have to just keep quiet.
I didn't do it.
just like a woman. What was the chattering thing?
Yeah.
Tell us.
The sign. There's a sign in an Indian temple, with a big sign outside when you enter it that said, all ladies must not chit-chat.
I don't say that again.
But you say it.
Kiki was saying in an Indian temple, outside this particular Indian temple, outside of the temple, there was a sign that said all ladies should refrain from chit-chat.
Oh. Only the ladies.
No, only Mahila.
Yeah.
Only Mahila.
What?
Mahila, you know, is women. Ladies.
Oh, yeah.
What was the exact wording?
It was in Hindi.
Yeah, what was it?
Mahila. Yeah, just that all ladies must not chit-chat.
All ladies must not chit-chat. But you know, I think really for this stream, from there, from a kind of this,
it's not fair.
No, I mean, it's ridiculous. But in a way, it's ridiculous. I mean, men don't sit around. Men are not as relational as women. Yeah. That's also true. You know, we talk to each other. You know? Yeah. we care for each other. We take care of each other. We.
Yeah. Well, so guys, I'm missing the band, but that's too bad.
Peter's gone now.
And if you are very brave, I would not want to be in a reverse position. You're very brave.
Everyone loves it. Okay. For years, I've been training him. Since the 70s. Never mind, it's okay. We're teasing.
I'm a slow learner.
Yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, anyway, from a kind of a, I think from an Indian perspective, an Indian man, maybe not so much now, but we'll see the woman as somebody who takes care of the home and takes care of the cooking and takes care of the kids, and she's just meant to take care of all of those type of things, and she's not interested in studying or using her buddhi for any type of analytical type work. They have some kind of that kind of a stereotype, so it's kind of a, the woman is involved in all of these other homemaking type of things and taking care of him, basically, and the family, and not even interested in any way using her mind in any other way except the practical being at home, taking care of the home, shopping, etc. So that's how they perceive, you know, the woman. And they appreciate her so much. Okay. Yeah. It's like that little, somebody 1 year ago sent me, they sent me, it was one student, I think, sent me in the email a thing, something like, I want a wife.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a woman saying, I would like to have a wife also. Something like that. Have you seen it?
No, but I've always said that.
And it went two pages. We've all said it. Yeah. I wish I could have a wife.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was like 2 pages of telling everything that you get.
Yeah.
So it's just so funny. So anyway, that's how they feel. And then they'll also feel, and so you just... Please stay like that as a good wife. Right. Don't think too much. Okay, so Shri. So Shri Bala Anda Jada Upamaha. So these Vadis who are confused, very, you know, very perplexed, very confused. Just like a woman, a child, a blind person, or somebody possessed by demons, a jada, just like that. In what way? Aham iti, okay? Aham means I am, means the aham. So the aham iti means the I, in quotes. But they know the aham as what? Means they know the self, the aham, the I, to be either the body. Or you can even say they know means they have a firm conviction, is the idea. You know? They know, they have a firm conviction that the body, that the I, the aham, is the body, deham. Or they think, others think, these are just different body positions. Or they think that the prana, the vital force, you know, is... Then they look at it as interior to the deha. The vital force, the life force, is something that is penetrating the deha, so it's interior in a sense. They think that the aham really is the prana, the vital force. Api means also. Or indriyani api. Or they take the aham, or they might take the aham to be the indriyas, okay, the sense organs. Then, and this is just giving a list, notice that they're using upi, and then cha. That's just to fill the meter. Upi can also be used just as cha, right? So they take it to be this, some take it to be the body, some take it to be the prana, some take it to be the indriyas, indriyani. Then buddhim is feminine, so chalam buddhim. They take it to be the buddhi, which is chalam. Moving, always moving. And so the people, those are actually what we call a type of Bauda Buddhist, the Kshanika Vijnanavadins, who take the self or the appearance of the self to actually be momentary, like thought. And so even though it looks to them, it will look to you as though there's some sort of continuity. It's really one vritti after another vritti after another vritti after another vritti. and that is posing as the self, just like a candle flame. How the candle flame is continually changing, but it looks as one entity. Mm-hmm. Like that, the mind looks at one. At the mind, the self is the buddhi,
okay.
Which looks as though it's one entity, the atma, the self. But in fact, it's continually changing thought after thought after thought. It's called the kshanika vijnana vadins, where vijnana means the buddhi, and kshanika means momentary.
So then you're saying that here it's held that the Buddhist feel that the mind is kind of the absolute reality, but it's always but it's always changing, or it's kind of like the bottom line.
Yeah, that consciousness belongs to the mind, in a sense, to the buddhi. Mm-hmm. And remember, there's 18 schools of Buddhism, so you can't say all Buddhists.
Right.
That's why I'm saying this in the Bhasha. It's relating to this one particular school called Kshanika Vijnana Vadins, which is, Swamiji says it's bleep bleep consciousness. You know, it's really vritti, 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 because they don't differentiate vijnanam consciousness from the buddhi, right? And so they just see it as something that is thought after thought after thought after thought. So that's represented by this chalam buddhi.
Can I ask another question? Do you think that's the type of Buddhism that Shankara was familiar with, like that he critiqued in the Brahma Sutra? Because Shankara wrote this, right?
Yeah. But then they also... No, he has different... He critiques a lot of different types of Buddhism in the Brahma Sutras. Yeah. And then he says... The next one is Shunya. So the Shunyavadins in Nagarjuna. That's another type of Buddhism.
Right.
Where there says there is no Atma. The Kshanika Vijnanavadins, none of them really accept an Atma, but some have different ways of negating it. You know, a conscious being. So the Shunyam... So some think of it as the bleep bleep, you know, consciousness. The chalam buddhim, son, as shunyam, means that the reality is shunyam, is an emptiness.
And that's because they didn't accept the pramana, right? And to
Those are whole other arguments. But actually, in this particular bhasha, you know, that has a, I think they call it a vartika, that goes along with it, where it's so many verses that go along explicating this particular, each verse in the Dakshinamurti, they do go through each one of these schools, like the people who take it as a deha, you know, and then some logic around that. Those who take it as prana, those who take it as indriyas, and negate. The whole purpose of this verse, say if we're really unfolding this verse, is to say, okay, these people, it already says who are extremely deluded, you know, like women, children, etc. They take it. They have a resolve that it's the deha. So if you say that, they have a resolve, it's the deha, that is the purvapaksha.
Yeah.
That means that you have to bring in the siddhanta.
Right.
You know? Same with the prana, same with the indriyas, same with the fluctuating buddhi.
Yeah.
Same with the idea of emptiness.
And would emptiness be like a sort of a nihilism? Or don't you know? I never understood that word, to tell you the truth.
See, it depends on the school of Buddhism, you know. But say it is better, sometimes Swamiji will translate shunyam as non-existence, which is problematic to do. I think it's easier to translate it, it fits in better with all of the different Buddhist doctrines, as emptiness. Like the way I like to translate it is from a statement that Nagarjuna made, because it also fits better with reality. Because in the end, you have to say there is no such thing as non-existence, right? So if you use the word for shunya, which can be void, but void is different than non-existence. Void is more akin to emptiness. Right? It means there's nothing there. There's no thing there. Okay? So say if you look at this physical creation that the dual creation that we experience, that we call maya, everything that exists within duality that is called maya. They look at this creation from its own standpoint, not saying anything about Brahman. Just the creation itself, without an acknowledgement of Brahman or any type of sat-chit at all. And in that case, if you're analyzing just the nature of the creation that you experience, everything is right, infinitely divisible. It's names within names, right? So they will talk about that as a drishtant, an illustration they use, is that this is like, the reality of this is kind of like peeling an onion. You peel it and peel it and peel it and peel it, but in the end, there's nothing there. Whereas the Vedanta won't accept that at all, because we'd say, okay, you're peeling, 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 but you never get to the end, the last peel. You know, as long as you're within Maya, you'll never get to the last peel. And you're also, this whole act of peeling means there has to be a subject-object relationship, the one who's peeling, right? So anyway, the peeling itself goes into an infinite regress, where if you use the example of the onion, there's a last peel, right? If you were to peel an onion, there's a last peel. And after you've made the last peel, what's there? There's no onion there. It's gone. There's nothing there.
So they're missing a level of reality, right?
Well, I mean, set. I'll explain. Yeah, they're not dealing with it. They deal with that in a different way. But say if we just look at the creation, even if you were to say the peeling is an infinite regress, you never get to the end of it, but you can never find a thing. You can never find a thing. We ourselves say that. You can never find a thing. But they hypothesize that because they're only viewing this creation, that maybe hypothetically you can get to a last peel, but what's going to be there is emptiness, is nothing. And so, but then, so they say, from the standpoint of names and forms, there is shunyata, emptiness. The names and forms themselves have no substance, they have no essence. That's what they mean by that. It's devoid of any type of essence. It's empty of any type of essence. But then Nagarjuna says that from the standpoint, from the Paramartika standpoint, he uses this term, from the Paramartika standpoint, there is shunyata, means it is empty of namarupa, names and forms. Right? And so they don't bring the two together exactly.
Which two?
The names and forms, they say, are empty of essence, and that the absolute reality is empty of names and forms. And so when we're looking at satyam mitya, there really is only the sat-chit. And the mitya is totally dependent on the sat-chit for its being. So, however, in Buddhism, when you're reading the poetry of enlightened Buddhists, they are describing the Paramartika Satyam, just as we would talk about Brahman. You know, but the problem is in Buddhism, the means of knowledge, because in the East, everything that you say is dependent upon pramana. You have to have a means of knowledge to establish, you know, the veracity of what you're saying. And that's just how all of the schools are like, all of the Vedas are like that. They will all say, these are our means of knowledge which we use to verify, you know, to establish what we're saying. For the Bauddha, the accepted means of knowledge are pratyaksha and anumana, perception and inference. Inference itself is based upon perception. And so the whole school of Buddhism, what the Buddha will say, what he will say, and the whole fourfold truth, is based upon what you can know through perception and inference. Right? And so through perception and inference, there's a lot of neti-neti. Even in Vedanta, you know, you can negate your experience. In the, like peeling an onion into infinite regress. You can't find a thing in the creation and all that. So you can easily kind of, what we say, establish Maya, or the non-reality, in a sense, of anything that we perceive. But what if you don't have the Upanishads or the Vedas as a pramana?
Yeah.
Okay. If you don't have that as a pramana, which is using a different type of teaching methodology to make you recognize the nature of the self and its relationship to this creation, then if you can't use that, then you have to come up with a teaching methodology based on pratyaksha and anumana, which will release you from suffering. And they do that, you know. And then with the following of the fourfold truth, I mean, they do that to a degree, you know. Nevertheless, there is, you know, they do have a meditative practice. And there is something to recognize. There's something to know that he won't comment on because there's no way to establish it through protection and umana, basically. So there can be no comment on it at all. That doesn't mean it's not there. There's something there to be recognized and realized. Hmm. You know, and there's a lot of different schools in.
So they just have to kind of stumble on it, sort of thing?
Not exactly stumble on it. I mean, there's something there to be stumbled on, right?
Yeah.
It's a little bit more directed than stumbling. But anyway. Yeah.
That's interesting.
So, but the point that I'm trying to make here is within this verse.
The next line.
There's no next line.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
I started out with the next line.
The purpose of this verse.
The purpose of this verse, what I'm saying is the purpose of this verse is this Purva Paccha Siddhanta. Mm-hmm. When they say this, then you have to go through and talk about, you know, why the self is not the body. Mm-hmm. They say it's the body. And what do they mean by it being the body? Why do they say it's the body? You know, and then what is the answer to that? What about the prana? What about the indriyas? Mm-hmm. What about the fluctuating buddhi? Mm-hmm. What about the shunya? Mm-hmm. So you have to present the shunya, and then you have to negate it. Mm-hmm. With that. Mm-hmm. You know. And so he starts out, he sets it up, because you can't just say, you just can't have a verse that says, you know, all these vadins are completely deluded, being completely deluded, like a woman or children, etc. You know, they know, they take the aham, ahamiti. They take the I as this, as the body, you know. Okay, so now you've said they're completely deluded. Yeah, and that they take the eye as the body. Now you have to do an unfoldment.
Right.
About around the eye, why the eye is not the body, why it's not the indriyas, why it's not the fluctuating buddhi, why it's not totally empty, that there's no such thing, basically. You know? Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So let's try to chant this.
Did we do this Maya Shakti?
No.
Or did
no.
you do that last
We didn't
week?
Do that line.
The third line. We didn't do
third line.
What third line?
The Maya Shakti.
That's what I said.
I'm sorry. I'm in this book, and this book does it differently.
You're only a woman, Edward.
Yeah, I'm only a woman. Leave me alone. Women can only do so much. Let me have another cup of my tea.
I did not say that.
No, I said it.
I'm innocent.
You're getting teased.
We're teasing you. Sorry. Okay, so remember that in the second line it says this brantaha brisham, they're very deluded. Now this third line, maya shakti vilasa kaupita maha vyamoha samharine. Okay, that's the whole compound. We'll read it backwards. Samharine is from samharin, so it's in the dative. Namaha, salutations, tasmai, to him, right? Who is a destroyer, one who destroys completely. Samyak hra means completely destroys. That in shows the doership, right? The one who has the capacity to destroy, to completely remove, to destroy, samharine. The what? The maha vyamoha. Maha means the great, extreme. This is going along with the brisham of before. The maha vyamoha, the extreme delusion, the extreme misconception. Maha vyamoha, samharine. Kalpita, which is projected or created by.
Wait.
You see the kalpita?
Mm-hmm.
Maha vyamoha, samharine.
Mm-hmm.
So samharine, the one. To the one, dative case, to the one who destroys, is the destroyer of?
The great
maha vyamoha, the great delusion. Kalpita, next word. You see a penny? Right before vyamoha, kalpita?
Yeah.
What's the matter?
I'm waiting for Shakti, but
we're reading backwards.
Oh, no wonder.
Yeah. From see, go,
well, we went
backwards.
To the great, now we're back going backwards again. Okay.
Samharine. Then you take Mahavyamoha as one. The great delusion. So the one who destroys the great delusion.
Okay.
Kalpita. Which is projected by, created by Vilasa. Now, vilasa means the sport, the play, or the manifestation. So created by the, we can say manifestation, but also has this sense of play or sport. The manifestation of the power of Maya, the Maya Shakti. So Ishvara, you know, is considered to have this Maya Shakti. It's his power. Or Brahman has, Ishvara is, has this Maya Shakti, Sattva, Rajas, and Tamas, that creates the universe. So the Maya Shakti, in a way, Shakti is an extra word here. You don't really need it. But you can say Maya Shakti, Vilasa, Kalpita, Mahavyamoha, Samharine. So, sal- Namaha Idam, this salutation, Tasmai to him, Dakshinamurti, in the form of my teacher, who destroys completely, the sum goes for the samyak, who is able to completely destroy the great delusion projected by the sport or the manifestation of the power of Maya. Right? Wow. So with the Maya, you see it?
Yeah.
Any questions on this?
So is he kind of also implying that all these wrong views are part of the sport of Maya Shakti?
All of these misconceptions are natural, in fact. Because of the ajnanam, so the jiva, without self-knowledge, is if they want to be a philosopher, they're going to come up with all different types of vadas, you know? Because there's no knowledge there. Everything, the self-knowledge is beyond their means of knowledge, so based upon what they experience in the creation, what is the self, what is the not-self, what is the reality? So that's why there are so many, even all over the world, there's so many philosophical systems based upon your experience of the creation, and you're always within the box.
Yeah, you know, that thing Swami just says a lot, like in a dream, you know, you have a dream, and there are all these people in the dream who are arguing about God and philosophy,
and all coming up with their own idea.
And they're all you.
Yeah, all you, based in a jnana.
Yeah.
Okay. Everybody clear on it?
Mm-hmm.
Let's try to chant it. Repeat after me first.
Om deham pranam apindriyanya pichalam buddhin cha shunyam viduhu. Deham pranam apindriyanya pichalam buddhin cha shunyam viduhu. Shri balanda jadopamas tuhamiti branta vishambhadinaha. Shri balanta jadopamas tuhamiti branta vishambhadinaha. Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpita Mahavya Moha Samharine. Maya Shakti Vilasa Kalpita Mahavya Moha Samharine. Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Tasmai Shri Guru Murtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshina Murtaye.
Let's do it together.
Deham pranam apindriyanya pichalam buddhin cha shunyam viduhu. Shri balanta jadopamastrahamiti pranta prashambhadinaha. Maya shakti vilasa kalpita mahavyamoha samharine. Tasmai shri guru murtaye nama idam shri dakshina murtaye.
Okay, good.
So this Bhranti can be deluded, confused, a roamer, a wanderer.
Bhranti, the word Bhranti is in the feminine nominative singular. Bhranta is a past passive participle. But Bhranti can mean like roaming about, wandering in circles, you know, lost. Mm-hmm. There's a sense of wandering around in circles, being lost. Mm-hmm. It can also just mean confused, perplexed. We use deluded a lot.
Mm-hmm.
In India, they have it, they call it knocking about.
Knocking.
That sounds very British.
That's very British.